was just a stage through which Jim Crockett Promotions grew to a national power.
We were doing really well because we had TBS.
When I look at the 80s as being the golden years, the popularity just went off the chart.
We lived it up. We were rock stars.
I probably wasn't the businessman I needed to be.
And the bills just piled up.
If they'd stayed between Baltimore and Chicago, they'd still be in business.
I didn't want to sell.
If the sale hadn't gone through, we wouldn't have survived.
I wanted to be number one.
I made WCW the number one wrestling company on the planet.
We had ideas and visions.
You really had to tune into the show to see just exactly what the hell I was going to do.
The NWO was so hot and the company WCW was so hot.
Absolutely an unbelievably pinnacle time.
It was phenomenal for a couple of years.
Showtime!
Bischoff is not a simpleton. I don't know if he was drunk with power or maybe just drunk, and everything started collapsing because of it.
Well, now that we got that out the way, that was our bonus show. That was it, the rise and fall of WCW in a minute and 15 seconds. We told you we promised you a bonus show, and we got to 105 five-star reviews, and there you go. Harper, hit the tagline to get us out of here.
Book it, bitch.
You got swerved.
How fucking awesome would that be if we actually would have did that? They're like, yeah, well, we promised it. Well, here, there you go. I think, actually, that let me tell you what that intro did for me, Doc, and I'll let y'all two weigh in. One, it pissed me off a little bit, and then, or two, it really did tell the whole story in a minute and 15 seconds.
Yeah, book it, bitch.
Book it. Bitch, let's get out of here. Doc, what about you? Any thoughts?
When we hit 205, we can do ECW. We were running in a bingo hall. Everybody did a bunch of drugs. We got too big, too fast. Book it, bitch.
You messed a couple things up. We fucked a bunch of bitches. We snorted some lines of cocaine off of some titties and some ass. What about that part?
I like that part. I'm shame on me for getting the best part.
You know, if you actually think about it, what was the difference between the Dallas Cowboys Ring Rat House and ECW?
Lots of money, world championships, fame and notoriety.
And zero fucks.
Lots of more black people.
Okay. My point was cocaine was a common denominator. But anyway, you know, I'm not here to bag on ECW at all. I mean, actually, it was very entertaining for her. There was a time period where I think we all loved it. So we're going to get this shit on the road and show on the road because we got shit to do. I mean, Harper's got to go to church. Actually, no, he doesn't because he's got other shit to do. Let me ask this question. I'll throw it at Harper first, and this is off the cuff. Harper, what are your memories of WCW and the shit that it was at the Monday Night Wars and then what it ended up becoming when it died?
I've always pictured WCW, when they first got that number one slot, they were like Japan. When they bombed Pearl Harbor, they're like, we got you. Ha ha ha. Fuck you. And then what happened? They awoke the sleeping giant and the American military force crushed them. Now, where in the fuck are they now? And that's how I pictured WCW when it had the NWO and Goldberg for that. Just that little time, they were the hottest thing going, and it forced WWE to fucking take this shit seriously, and they help crush them.
So are you saying that WCW makes WWE's electronics?
No, because they're gone. They're dead. Unfortunately.
Well, he's actually got a point there. They kind of, like, came out hard, at least in the mid-90s, and
they
came out with
hard.
Some heavy artillery, even though they technically started long before that. But still, he's got a point. I can see that analogy. And Doc, if you really think about it, Harper makes a good point because the only time it felt like that WWF / WWE took it real serious was during that time frame when they decided, you know, when it was Austin 316 and The Rock and whatnot, and that shit just hit you upside the head, and WCW just couldn't compete anymore. I mean, it's the only era of WWF that we really love, isn't it, Doc?
Yes.
It's that last era where there were true superstars.
Right. and not a brand, and not and not and not you, because now you tune in. Well, not us, but the people tune in to WWE Raw on Mondays. They don't tune in to see, I don't know, who the fuck's the champion right now.
I couldn't tell you. is it still Brock?
I think it's Brock, because there's a four way at SummerSlam. I think it is. So let's get this shit on the road. All right. So, Doc, I'm going to go through this kind of chronologically. I'm going to hit on some points, and then I'll throw it at kind of both of y'all. Y'all tell me what y'all think, and then stop me. There are, I think, only like three or four timestamps that I have queued up that I'm going to play that kind of go along with the story being told. But I think we all know the story. You know, there's a 6:05 time slot from, I didn't know this, it was all the way back to 1971 that they had that time slot at 6:05.
Well, it was Georgia before anything else. So
right, and it was Georgia before anything else. But there's something I found interesting. So early on the DVD, it talks about Ted Turner, Cable, and the 6:05 time slot. Again, they said they had it from 71. And then, you know how people talk about that hokey wrestling and whatnot, and how like wrestling gets a bad name and shit? Well, Turner Broadcasting, Ted Turner, he used that time slot to get other show ratings. What I mean by that was they would put other shows around the 6:05 time slot, like before and after those other shows, that would then get ratings for those shows, and then they'd put those other shows in different time slots. So he used wrestling to build up other shows. Do you remember that from the special, Doc?
No, basically what I remember, and I remember being just nuclear heat pissed off when this would happen, would be the once a month or once every 6 weeks I was at my grandparents' house that had cable, and that shit would get preempted by the goddamn Braves.
Yeah, fuck the Braves. Who That's the Braves?
Nice. Dale Murphy can suck a dick.
And you know, it's funny, bro. Back then, the Braves weren't good.
They were horrible.
I don't think they were good. I'm talking the 85-ish, 86.
That was dark years, man.
Yeah. So we didn't get our wrestling, but we got Braves because it was preempted. All right. Now, we kept it moving then, and this was one thing I think I knew both of y'all would pop on, so I took a note on it. So, and then this is all in, obviously, the Rise portion of it, but Starrcade 83. Jim Crockett Jr. talked about how the first Starrcade in 83 and how it was the forerunner of pay-per-view. So, you know, everybody wants to credit WrestleMania, right, Harper, and Vince McMahon for these things. Nah. Starrcade 83 was basically the forerunner of what pay-per-view would become. I know it wasn't a pay-per-view, just what it would become. And Crockett then claims that they shut down the interstate with everyone trying to get to the Greensboro Coliseum building. Doc, I'm sure you remember that. Thoughts on the fact that they shut down an entire interstate? Because, you know, that was wrestling in the South back then, man.
I don't believe that.
You don't believe it at all?
No.
Come on, man. We're Southern wrestling guys. You don't believe that the interstate got shut down?
No.
I don't believe that either, bro. I mean, Mardi Gras didn't even shut down the fucking interstate. In New Orleans. You know how big that is.
We're talking 1983. Maybe the interstate... I guess you got a point.
And the other thing about this is that you got to.
So you think that's hyperbole?
Hyperbole, son.
I call it hyperbole.
I understand. It's. God.
I'm not as educated as you.
Right.
Nickel State. Go Colonels.
Right.
Hey, motherfucker. That's the Harvard on the Bayou.
Dude, that's kernels of corn instead of Army kernels.
Will you stop?
No. My problem with this is I hate just about everybody that runs wrestling, and this shit made it worse because Jim Crockett Jr. messed everything up, and he admits it. And then later we're going to get into the Bischoff horse shit. So this, to me, this just did not paint Jim Crockett Jr. in a very good light, and thanks a lot.
Well, you got to also remember who produced the video, too. This is WWE production.
There was a line, and I don't know if it's in your notes or if we're going to talk about it. It's a little bit further on, but when he says, I wasn't the businessman I need to be, I was like, huh.
Yeah, he did say that. That kind of angered me a little. But I'm about to play a soundbite of a portion from this video. where when we want to talk about why, ultimately, you know how, like, if you trace steps back to, you can go far back in time where there is a fork in the road of your life where you can be like, that is where, this is why we're at where we're at today. I believe what I'm about to play is the reason for that. And here it is. This is the Black Saturday segment when Vince got control of the time slot and then they muscled it back from him. So listen to this and then we'll talk about that because this is a big thing to me.
Paul Jones, there were several other people that, you know, Jim Barnett, that owned Georgia Championship Wrestling, the stockholders. And Vince came in and got control of Georgia Championship Wrestling, which gave him control of the Turner shows.
On behalf of WTBS, it's a pleasure to welcome the World Wrestling Federation.
And so that was Black Saturday when he came in, and it was Vince McMahon.
Thank you. It is indeed a pleasure to be associated with WTBS, and we promise to bring you the greatest in professional wrestling entertainment in the world today.
Well, I thought it was a brilliant maneuver on our part, quite frankly. And if I could attack the cable audience at both ends from USA Network standpoint and also from a Turner Network standpoint, which, quite frankly, I think Turner as a superstation then was probably in more cable systems than USA. So I thought that would be a great 1-2 punch straight away into the cable market, thus, you know, into pay-per-view.
I don't know how he got by with doing this with Ted.
Vince, he calls Ted Turner and says, Ted, I'll give you $500,000 a year and provide you a sports entertainment TV show. So Ted calls Jimmy and says, Jimmy, you're off the air.
And I bought Georgia Championship Wrestling right out from under, you know, those who were supplying the, you know, the performers, which was, in this case, the NWA, Jim Crockett Promotions.
I didn't like it because he was on the station. You know, I knew what it meant. If he's on syndicated shows, that's one thing, but on Superstation, that's another. At that time, Turner Broadcasting was America's station. Everybody knew TBS.
I figured that was the end of us because TBS gave you credibility on top of everything else.
And everybody just was, phew, man, that's the end of an era.
Smart business on his part. It made everybody stand up and take notice.
Good to have you here, and I think you're going to find an audience here that's very warm to the talent you have and to the great matches.
When they aired the product that they did, the fans went nuts.
Fans got a sample today, and they're in for a treat. You got great action coming in the major cities of this country, and right here in Atlanta, part of it now with great action every single week on TV.
He tried to change the TBS franchise, and it didn't work.
And here on World Championship Wrestling this week, the Polish power, Ivan Putski.
I don't know what political strings were pulled, but in a very short period of time, Ted wanted out of our contract, which was a handshake. And I had a falling out with Ted. And so let's find some sort of amicable way in which we can get out of this. And we did.
Crockett Jr. calls Vince and says, I want my TV station back. What's it going to cost me?
We ended up paying Vince $1 million for the contract to run the TV at TBS.
So I didn't suffer any. I probably made a few bucks, along the way.
At that time, too, Vince was looking, he wanted to do WrestleMania. That was around the first time in WrestleMania. So basically, we bought it and paid for WrestleMania.
You heard what I said about forks in the road at the beginning, Doc? So,
yeah,
our beloved
hungry
Southern Wrestling paid for WrestleMania, which I already knew this before I watched it, before anybody
well,
said,
oh. You got a lot of things there. You know, Vince explaining how brilliant his move was. It was quite brilliant on our part.
Yeah, I mean, why don't you just fucking whip your dick out and start stroking that bitch in front of the fucking camera?
What happened, I believe, was that Southern wrestlers didn't want to see a bunch of Northern ethnic stereotypes and see Tito Santana and Iron Mike Sharp or whoever get it on. They wanted to see Ole and Gene Anderson, damn it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead, Hopper. Sorry.
Imagine being a fan, sitting there turning it on and like, who in the fuck's this guy?
I was about to say that. I have heard from people who listen to us who fucking love the goddamn NWA show. I mean, they love the Smoky Mountain one, but they love the NWA show. They love us going through the Saturday nights. I mean, I can't even tell you. Even when y'all insult them, they're like, we love this fucking show. And there's a few who have told me they were watching on July 14th, 1984, when Vince popped up, and they were like, what is this fucking bullshit? Give me my fucking Southern wrestling with the black ropes and the fucking the NWA banner. And when you look back at it now, too, see, I can see the video as it was playing. It looks, it's still to this day, even though it's, this is a long time ago, 33 years ago, you still look at that and you see Vince's name and Vince in front of that old World Championship Wrestling banner. You're like, fuck this shit.
I've said this to you before, though. Vince also timed this just right, and not only was there a confluence of, you know, the digital platforms changing, cable television, you kind of also remember Vince was young and hungry, and all the other guys just about were old and tired at the same time. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure Vince would have been murdered. Old school carnies, old school tough guys, old school people that didn't go down to HR to handle their disputes.
Right. Yeah.
Business. You're going to tell me, HR. I mean, hell, Eddie Graham killed himself. Would that have been a beyond him to kill somebody else?
Probably not. Probably not.
That's
no.
Nice.
So, but, you know, Vince... And they end up buying it back from him, and that funded WrestleMania, and now here we are. I only say that because, you know, you always hear the story about, like, how much Vince had on the line at WrestleMania. Well, he had a lot on the line, but would he have even been able to put on WrestleMania without making money off of stealing World Championship Wrestling from Ted Turner and then the Crockett's being able to get...
Yeah. Come on, dude. This is his production. That's just his way of covering it up, making it look like his competitors paid for it when he really went to the mob and got his funding.
Oh, shit.
Allegedly.
That's an inside joke, too. Well, Doc claims to have a source who said that to him once.
A source?
Yeah, that's what he claims. No, I mean, this person claims that Vince is in bed with the mob. Isn't that the exact words we were told? That?
Something like that.
Yeah, Vince sold his soul to the mob. Like, literally, this is what we were told by this person. Now, again, allegedly, we're not reporting that as news. This person, you know, this person has told us that. And we're like, yeah, okay, whatever. So they get the time slot back. They start running in other cities. This is probably around the time where all of us start really getting to the 605 show in 85. They start going to Texas, Chicago. They're going all over the place. Magnum wrecks his car. We're about to get to that with our NWA shows. That hurt them, although I don't know if we've ever talked about this before. I'll ask Harper first. In the grand scheme of things, if Magnum isn't injured, Harper, do you still feel the NWA would eventually cease to exist as we know it? I say yes. What do you say?
If he didn't get hurt?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. He's just one guy.
Right.
He's just like one piece of the puzzle.
A lot of people feel like that was like a big turning point. It was a big deal because he was being groomed, but
it was a big deal, but that wasn't the death blow.
Right, right. There's a lot of people who have messaged me and go, "Well, what if Magnum didn't hurt?" I'm like, "Well, he'd have been a world champion. No doubt about that, but I don't know if I still think the landscape was changing, and I still think they have the same problems they end up having later on down the road. And, you know, let's be real. They were winning Monday Night Wars for a long time, too, long after Magnum was injured.
I don't think Sting would have gotten as big as he did at such an early stage if Magnum was still around.
That's true, because you would have had a top babyface like him. And let's be real, Magnum was no Lex Luger. What I mean by that is not an insult to Luger, but Luger may have
been... He could talk and work his ass off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Doc, what do you think?
Is Magnum TA going to go get an MBA and figure out how not to run the motherfucker in the ground?
No.
Then it doesn't matter.
Right. Right. I agree. I mean, I've had people who say that. They're like, well, what if? Well, he'd have been world champ. That's what if. Okay. Arn is on record, and Rick as well, to saying that this is after Magnum's injury, that if we just would have stayed on the East Coast, Jim Crocker Promotions would still be in business. I actually think there may be more to that than the Magnum deal with Magnum getting hurt, because if you know, that's where they lost all their money. And if you're in business, you would understand how that works. Basically, you know, they spent it all. I mean, and Rick even said it. If we'd have stayed from Baltimore to Chicago, you heard it at the opening, we'd still be in business, or they would. So I'll stop for a second, Doc. You've actually told me a lot about that over the years and your thoughts. So you got anything there?
You work in a corporate environment. When do corporations show discretion and backing off and but more? So it's just not in their nature.
No shit. Boy, you ain't lying. But they start flying, and they had private jets and yada, yada, yada. And they just ran out of money. They expanded too fast. So that leads to, as most people know who are fans of NWA, Crockett sells to Turner. They go through the late 80s when Rick worked with Barry, Rick worked with Steamboat, and all the talent like the Road Warriors, Doom was there, the Steiners. And I'll make this statement because this is what I had from my notes, and I'll ask Harper. Michael Hayes, I think, said it best, and I'm not the biggest Michael Hayes fan these days, but whatever. But he did say it best. He said the product in the ring was great, but the management behind the scenes was clueless. And then, like, an example being Jim Herd. But to be fair, even Dusty couldn't help them during the late 80s because of the corporate people being clueless. What I'm saying is, Herd fucked a lot of shit up, but even Dusty had trouble running things because, you know, you had those corporate cronies behind him. So, I don't know, Harper, I'll throw it to you first. Hayes said the product was really good towards the late 80s, but the mismanagement was there. You watched more of the late 80s than Doc and I did. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree to that, man, because when you watch those old Halloween Havocs and everything, it's like, man, this is good shit with, you know, Mr. Wonderful and fucking Steamboat.
Steiners.
Yeah, Steiners in their prime.
Yeah.
And fucking Doom. Doom was badass. I forgot how badass Doom was till I started watching their stuff recently. I was like, man, they were like a black Legion of Doom.
They were. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I agree.
And the product was fucking great, but it just seemed more I guess it's like a generic version of the WWE, you know what I'm saying? Like it's like a WWE was like the Kellogg's Frosted Flakes, and they were the great value brand from fucking Walmart, you know?
Still good, but there was something
still
missing.
Still good, but it ain't Kellogg's Frosted Flakes.
And it was because of the mismanagement. I mean, Hayes said it best. I agree. Doom was badass, man. Ron Simmons and Butch fucking Reed with Jesus Christ. And I mean, you know, if you're from the South like we are, Harper and I watching Butch in Mid-South, Butch was fucking awesome there. So, I mean, I agree. In the late 80s, there is a lot of fantastic stuff there, but still, mismanagement was killing them. Doc, I want you to go back and look at this. At minute 30-34 of the documentary, there is a clip. Jim Herd and Tim Horner are in the same clip.
Wow.
I was like, if there's ever two fuck-ups as much as these two. Oh, boy. Yeah.
You know Horner went home that night and told his wife, man, I talked to the big boss. They got big plans for me. I'm going straight to the top.
Okay. So then it leads into Bill Watts comes in the 90s. Hayes said he thought Watts would be a breath of fresh air, but Michael Hayes said even he was wrong. Watts took away the mats on the outside, which that wasn't a big deal for me. But I did think when he brought in that, I remember this, when he brought in that DQ over the top rope, I thought that was kind of dumb, but whatever. DQ, coming off the top rope. Like if you did a move off the top rope, not being thrown over, but you went to the corner and came off. That was a DQ in Mid-South. You know, that worked in the early 80s. I don't know if it was going to work in 91. That It just wasn't. Also, and Doc, I know it's been a couple weeks now since you watched it and we're recording this, They show a few Smoky Mountain clips from when Smoky Mountain came into WCW when they were showing the Watts segment. I don't know if you remember that. Did you remember seeing that?
Not only that, but we're getting ready to get into that in our Smoky Mountain stuff, like in the next couple of shows we record. So
yeah.
Hell, brother.
Yeah, so they show those clips on this documentary of like Dr. Tom and Stan and Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies in Mid-South with the Rock and Roll Express. And
you mean WCW?
What?
Right?
What do you mean WCW?
You said Mid-South.
Yeah. I mean, they show, when I say Smoky Mountain clips, I mean, they show the Smoky Mountain guys. You wouldn't know unless you watch Smoky Mountain. You would think you're just watching a WCW documentary.
You said Mid-South.
Oh, I said Mid-South. I'm sorry. Okay. So they show all these Smoky Mountain guys.
It's the bonus show for our show, but I know you're already thinking about your Brian Last show. It's okay.
That's nice.
So they show all these Smoky Mountain clips during that segment, but whatever. So Watts doesn't last long. He's out the door because, you know, it just ain't working for him.
Because he called Hank Aaron the N-word.
Well, I mean, you notice how they conveniently omitted that from the...
What exactly did he say that was so horrible?
I don't even remember. I don't remember exactly. I just know it was, he was out the door. It didn't seem like he was there long. Doc will Google it while I'm doing this. All right.
I'm popping pandas, pal.
Oh, okay. After that, they bring Bill Shaw in. He's smart enough of a businessman to lean out the wrestling people. And then we get Eric Bischoff, Doc, who comes in.
Well, hold on. I thought a pivotal point here, you know, as you start to get into the, if we're ever going to save this thing, the real tragedy was after Watts didn't work out, Bill Shaw seemed like, by the accounts that we get, like he could have been the guy to run it the right way, but his time wasn't very long there.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, I agree.
So I that was one of those things where, in hindsight, it was probably a bigger missed opportunity than it felt like at the time.
Well, but Bill Shaw brought in Bischoff.
Right. So just even if he hadn't done that, that'd have been good.
You mean if he had not?
Let me just say this now. I hate Eric Bischoff with a red-hot, flamey passion. I can't stand that, overusing the words, quite frankly. He is the classic corporate jackass that uses I when it's something good and you when it was bad. Fuck that.
Keep going, Doc. I like this.
Well, here's the other thing. Russo's an idiot, and I don't like Russo more than I don't like Bischoff, but Bischoff is walking around like he's done something in his life. Man, all he did was pack Hogan's nuts in his mouth for a few years, and God, I hate Bischoff. I hate Bischoff so much. He ruined this shit.
Well, okay, so we're about to get into that. Bischoff comes in, and he actually had a little wrestling experience at that point with the AWA. And then they moved to Disney, where they start doing their syndication for their weekly TVs. That was in 93. But when Bischoff came in a year later in 94, that's when they bring in Hulk. That's when Hogan comes in. And Bash at the Beach 94, we get Rick versus Hogan, and Hogan wins the world title because what you going to do, brother? You know, creative control,
well,
right?
Hold on a second. I hated Disney. The whole Disney tapings.
Okay.
Ever since they moved Saturday Night out of where we're watching it now into the soundstage.
God.
Dude, that's the effect of corporations on wrestling. You don't need a fancy setup. You know what you need? Personal issues and believability.
I want to disagree with you, but I think you're right. You know, I mean, that basically
that set was so stupid.
Yes, and Disney was like
Yeah, I mean, it was like they were in fucking Aliens. Like the smoke would come out. They go through the door. I was waiting to see fucking Ridley with the flamethrower.
It was like
Yeah, fuck.
It was like they were in the impact zone.
Yeah.
The impact zone isn't even that bad though. Right. Because they had, remember they had the ring on like that spinning on in that.
TNA had time to learn from their mistakes.
Oh boy. So, you know, Hogan comes. I thought you were about to say something when I started talking about Hogan, because
I got plenty for that asshole.
Well, Hopper was a Hogan fan with WWF. I mean, we've identified
that.
I mean,
not by that time. I mean, by that time, I was like fucking 16 years old. Well, I wasn't, you know.
Yeah, I meant mid-80s you were a Hogan fan, not by this point. Yeah. So Hogan comes in and fucking Flair lays down for him. Hogan wins the title in 94. But it put a lot of eyes on the product in that Bash at the Beach 94 did real, real good numbers from what I gather. So, Doc, go ahead. You said you had something now, and I know you're pissed off because Rick just fucking laid down for Hogan and just gave him a belt.
No, here's the thing. I hated Bischoff, like I just said, but at least he tried to do something different. He tried to disrupt things and do something with that company that for about 4 or 5 years since they'd been run as a WCW entity, they were just spinning in a circle. So there's that. But, you know, it's not beating Flair. Look, I get it. Flair has to lose at some point. They can't replicate the 500-day title reigns of the 80s. That's fine. It's the having to make him look stupid for about 15 or about 7 straight years that bothered me with all of it.
Having to make who look stupid?
Flair. They put him in a dress around that time and having him attack. The first match was career, so he's got to retire. Man, Rick should have just told those motherfuckers, fuck you, and left.
They did make him like a comic relief guy, almost.
Yeah.
It was very corny.
That's Ric Flair, dude.
Early 90s, though, wrestling, we forget how shit was going through that fucking stupid phase with all the colors, like, just...
Not in Smoky Mountain. The colors were the colors of the Confederate flag, pal.
Well, that's true. But early 90s wrestling was just weird. So I don't know, man. I will say this. When Hogan did sign with WCW, it did raise eyebrows and it put more eyes on the product. And that wasn't a bad thing. Because what that did was it got him going in the right direction. Me and Gene came in, Macho Man, Bobby Heenan. They all end up in WCW, and they still had tread on the tires. I mean, a lot of them, they were still rolling. So, you know, we think about the Monday Night Wars. If you don't plant those seeds, there is no Monday Night War because they don't have the stars to compete at that point. And WWF was still fucking cartoonish at that time. WWF wasn't rolling at that point. I mean, they still had their cartoon shit going. So, anyway, so we get past that, and then Eric Bischoff tells Ted Turner in a meeting that he wants 2 hours of primetime TV. Now, Doc, you and I have been in corporate America for a combined 35 years. I am going to, I wish I had the timestamp for it. Bischoff talks about how it goes down where he convinced Ted to, you know, to have that, I guess, time slot. And he's like, they're in this big corporate meeting. Do you remember that part of it? I'm like, dude,
no. But,
there's no way it went down like that.
I'm not trying to oversell what I do on my day, on my straight job, on my shoot job. But but I sit in rooms with millionaire businessmen from time to time. And they're not going to be much different than the corporate suits that ran wrestling. So what do you got for me?
No, they're no different.
Right. So I'll tell you, you said you wanted me to weigh in on something. What do you want me to weigh in on?
I'm looking for the timestamp of it. I didn't write this down, and I wish I did. But basically, Bischoff, Oh, fuck, I wish I had it on me.
Happened was is that Jane blew Ted earlier, like woke him up with a blowjob, so he was in a good mood. He got to the office, nothing bad happened. Bischoff happened to get in there when nothing bad was happening. Ted was like, oh, I remember that wrestling helped me when the Braves sucked, so here's some TV time.
Eric makes it sound like when he went to Ted, it was just like, oh,
some stuff around for him.
No, no, no. Ted said, I think, Eric, what do we need to do to compete with Vince McMahon? And Eric's like, I was not prepared for that question, but I did what any good young businessman would do. And I came up with something on the fly and told him, give me 2 hours of primetime TV. And I'm like, dude, bro, I've sat in that chair before when you're meeting with bigwigs. That shit don't go down like that, bro. Like, he made it sound like it was, I came up with it on the fly. I don't see it.
He was shooting
way.
From the hip.
I guess, bro. So anyway, I wanted to ask you that, Doc, because you've been there and you've been in those meetings and whatnot. Okay. So we keep it moving now, and then I'm going to play it. Now I do have a soundbite from Bischoff. Now watch this be the one that I want, and I just wrote the stamp down wrong. But this is Bischoff. I think it's him talking about giving away live results, specifically because, you know, they were running live, WCW, and WWF was, you know, tape delayed. Or not tape delayed, but, you know, in a can, taped ahead of time. So here it is. And I want you to hear some of the whininess here in the unwritten code that Michael Hayes is claiming too. So here it is.
Divide the audience.
My network at the time tended to skew a little older anyway, so I thought, you know, go after a demo that WWE isn't going after.
Monday nights became wrestling night.
So I thought, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll make a list of every way possible I can be different than the WWE. Their tape, I'll be live. Which gave me a great idea one day. I thought, okay, people don't know what's going to happen on my show, but we can tell them what's going to happen on the competition.
We are live. We are not like the World Whining Federation, which is a taped, canned show. Happened a couple of weeks ago. Let me save you some time and put your remote control down. The RuPaul impersonator, the transvestite Goldust, defeats Savio Vega, regains the Intercontinental title, yawn. Mankind defeats Aldo Montoya, bigger yawn, and Vader defeats Fatu. Oh, boy.
You know, there was a number of things that they did that were against the rules at the time. There was always an unwritten code in our industry, and they were breaking it on a weekly basis.
Eric had an edge.
Hold on, bro. I got to stop. I ain't no Bischoff fan either, Doc. He broke an unwritten code. What the fuck you think Vince McMahon did when he went and shut down the territories?
Vince does some whining about this later, too, about the
Jesus
deal in the NWO.
Christ!
Yeah, but, really,
but,
huh?
But here's the thing. Here's what all Vince does this as well as anybody, but all these rich businessmen do it. If I fuck you, I'm the smartest man alive. If you fuck me, I'll sue you.
I'm glad
that's
you said that.
That's business in 101 right there. That's what they all think, every one of them.
And I think, hold on, let me see if he mentions that here. Harper, were you going to say something while I was screaming?
I never understood why they did that, because now it makes me want to change the channel to go see that shit.
Well, and that ends up being one of the things that happened when they said when Mick Foley had Mankind defeated The Rock for the world title.
Right. Like it made That's people a big wanna... deal. That's something to watch.
Right. So they did say that. That actually, what you're saying did happen later on. I think Vince said something about suing at this point. So let me play. Hold on. Let me catch the rest of this here. It's about another minute.
Way of looking at things. He looked outside the box.
I literally did everything that I could do to be different. Their characters are very animated, very cartoonish. I'm going to make mine very real. I'm going to have my guys using their real names. Their storylines are very animated and cartoonish. My storylines are going to be reality-based.
Steve Thorne was trying to get an offensive going.
Wait a minute.
But
what the hell is going on here?
What are you talking about?
Look here.
Well, what the hell?
Wait a minute.
Wait,
we need security here.
Nitro at the time was beginning to get some traction. The numbers were growing. Revenue was growing. The company was growing. You know, we needed some fresh faces. So when I found out that Scott was available, I talked to Scott.
You know who I am. But you don't know why I'm here.
I went to Vince McMahon, who's the boss, and asked him if I could improve my situation with the company. And I didn't want to leave. And at that time, Vince, you know, felt no. He couldn't accommodate me in the way I wanted to be accommodated.
Not again. Look, you hit.
Man, relax, man, relax. You started it. You want to go to war? You got a war. You started it. We gonna finish.
What do you mean we? You're coming up with this
you
we
know
stuffing
who,
and
man.
I don't see
you know
anybody.
Who. Hey, did Daddy Warbucks, he get his money yet?
Guys that came down from...
Hold on, I gotta play that part, my bad.
New York, the Hogans, the Halls, the Nashes, those guys had the business experience.
They were asking for some sort of guaranteed contract because that's what they were offered by Turner's organization.
This is where the big boys play, huh? Look at the adjective, play. We ain't here to play.
They had to have something that was a guarantee. I was against it, didn't give guarantees, just gave opportunities at the time.
So I had to do what I thought was best for me and my family, and I accepted an offer from WCW.
All right.
Can you imagine a company signing a contract?
Go ahead.
Bischoff says he wants reality storylines. Glacier?
No, I mean, there's always an exception to...
Right. Once again... Vince, well, I wanted to old time give you opportunities and have it skewed in my favor. My opponent, my competitor didn't do that. Unfair,
well,
unfair.
Yeah, and that's actually what I was about to, that's what it's coming up in a minute, but we can just go to it.
And the other thing is, somebody needs to diagram a sentence for Kevin Nash, because where the big boys play, plays out an adjective. That's actually the fucking verb.
Well, the funny part about this whole thing is Scott Hall never call him Razor Ramon.
No.
They never call Nash Diesel. But we talked about this months ago on the flagship show. Vince, they end up suing WCW because they said Hall and Nash were insinuating that they were actually WWF talent. So
what was that when Ric Flair went to WWF with the Real World Championship 3-4 years
right.
earlier?
Right. Not only that. So, again, we got a rich man in McMahon. He's mad. They took
He's
their
a bitch.
Ball. Yes. They took their ball and went to the other team. And now they're getting over with the other team. You know what I'm saying? They're actually about to win a couple championships because, let's face it, this is about to be the peak of WCW and the NWA. Well, what was once the NWA, and now he's mad. So you didn't want to up their contract. That's fine. That's fine. Don't cry about it. Don't say they're acting like Razor and Diesel. No, they're not. How are they supposed? I mean, they can't change their appearance. We haven't reached that point in human evolution yet where we can be a chameleon and become someone else when we leave one company and go to another. Just the whininess of it here just oh, shit drove me up a wall. Jesus Christ. What'd
yeah,
you say
it's
he
like
was doing?
I guess he's just pissed because he didn't see it coming and it
of
fucking worked.
Yeah. And like Doc says, what happens when rich businessmen, that happens to rich businessmen?
I'm suing.
Yeah.
So, unfair.
Yeah, you're cheating. Yeah,
you're cheating. And he sued. So, there you
have
it.
He didn't win, huh?
I don't think so. Actually, it's funny because in the documentary, they say something like it went away. They didn't really I don't think they really. I don't really think they even. They didn't. They did. He didn't say he lost. You know, shocker there, right? It's a WWE produced documentary. Okay, we keep it moving. We all know Hulk turns on WCW. Hogan becomes a third man. Now he's part of the NWO. Doc, I know you hate Hulk, and you and I have never really talked about this. Did it bother you that Hogan ended up being the third guy, or were you okay with that?
No, I thought that was really awesome, actually. I think it was the best thing Hulk Hogan ever did in his career. The most interesting thing. Hulk, I just never understood why, leading up to it, if Bischoff was going to be part of the thing, why Kevin Nash powerbombed him at that pay-per-view.
That was weird, too. I remember that angle where he powerbombed him through the table off the stage, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Harper, were you good with that? I mean, I know we were all shocked.
I was surprised as fuck.
I was, too. Had no idea.
Wasn't it supposed to be Sting?
Yeah, if you read,
man,
there's an old
call Sting.
There was, yeah, a couple of people that it could have been. Luger was one that it could have been. They also rumored that it would have been Brett, too, because I think Brett's contract was coming up.
What about Craig Pittman?
No.
Okay. What?
No.
I remember him.
And Sting was one other that it was possibly going to be. So, yes, you're right there. The NWO, as we know, it catches fire, and we tune in every Monday night to see who is going to show up, because I'm sure y'all remember, Harper, it was like every week Million Dollar Man shows up, you know, X-Pac shows up. Before you know it, everybody's jumping ship, and it's just insane. And that's just how it was.
Right around this time is a moment of Monday Night War that sticks in my memory this many years later. We used to get together, a bunch of guys in college, and watch it. And there's a friend of mine that I recently reconnected with that he's probably listening to this on an airplane. But one night, it was he and I's apartment, and they opened Nitro, I think. I think they opened with it, or just first or second match. The Giant in the NWO beat Rick for the belt. He and I turned to everybody and said, when this sorry horse shit's over, we'll be at the bar. Come meet us. We'll get a table. And we just left and said, fuck it. This is some horse shit. So even back then, we were marks for Rick, and just him losing the belt like that was unacceptable.
Oh, boy. Well, Giant won the belt on his first night out.
Something like that. I don't know. Yeah. Some horse shit then and some horse shit now.
Okay. Doc, for a Southern wrestling company, you are doing a lot of shitting on WCW. I mean, this is actually the good part of it.
Was it? I have in my notes that for me, WCW quit being fun in like 97.
Well, we're still in 96 when Hogan hits the scene.
But I know, but they were treating the Horsemen poorly, right?
Oh, the Horsemen, yeah.
Yeah, so, they were shitting all over them.
Right.
Yeah, the Horsemen by this point, it was, nah. All right. They talk about the cruiserweights in the documentary. Just real quick, Harper, what did you think about the cruiserweights during the WCW time? And let me remind you, this was probably most people's first viewing of Mysterio, Chris Jericho, guys like that who, you know, would go on to have stellar careers. I actually thought the cruiserweights were just treated badly for the most part. They were, Malenko was one of them, Eddie Guerrero, undercard guys that actually did a lot of the work, but weren't paid shit from what I gathered. So, Harper, your thoughts on the cruiserweights?
The cruiserweights definitely had a ceiling, a very low ceiling.
Yeah.
To where they can get in a company, and it's still like that to this day. It's just, it's a side act.
Yeah, it is. It's a
That's
side
all
act.
It is. It's a side act.
WWE isn't doing them any favors either, and they've got actually some very talented cruiserweights right now, and people, you know, former ROH stars and former indie stars, and they just they don't do anything.
I have a note that the night that Kevin Nash tossed Mysterio into that trailer like a dart, it killed Mysterio's career for me to this day. I couldn't take him seriously. The fact that he beat the Giant in WWE is their problem. That night, I was like, because I had seen Mysterio in Psychosis, I think it was, or Guerrero.
ECW.
In ECW.
It was Psychosis.
And I was blown away, because guess what? ECW would make things, you know, hide the negatives. Well, the negative is that Kevin Nash picked him up real easy and threw him, and it looked like even I could maybe do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did. I mean, he threw him like a dart. That's for damn sure. But, you know, that was the NWO getting over. That was the NWO trying to be the badasses. But it is what it is, you know. Well, not trying, but being what they were. And, I mean, they were on fire at that point. You know.
Great.
Well, we get to Bill Goldberg.
Okay, hold on. I have a note about him.
What?
And I wanted to do it at the beginning. You know what Bill Goldberg is for me?
Oh, shit. I'm listening, and I'm really scared.
Bill Goldberg is an English-speaking Nikita Koloff for me.
Will you stop?
I can't stand Bill Goldberg either, so there you go. I hope Steven Regal shows up at his house tonight and ties him up again.
Jesus!
I'm kind of shocked because I thought... Well, I'm not a Goldberg fan. I especially wasn't a Goldberg fan earlier this year, whenever the hell they did the thing with Goldberg and Brock and, you know, Goldberg winning in, like, no time, beating Brock in, you know, 45 seconds, whatever it was. But Flair even said on the documentary that Goldberg was a good idea. At least he thought it was.
Well, Arn says Goldberg was just – he was their version of the Rock Stone Cold. But the difference was, unlike – Rock and Stone Cold and Hogan, those guys could all talk. I mean, I don't like Hogan, but he can talk. Goldberg didn't talk, so you didn't get that. You didn't get any lift off of that.
Well,
you just said who's next,
right? Great.
I don't. To me, I was fine with Goldberg.
You know what? I'll say this too: Goldberg entertained me more than Goldberg. And I'm not, and people are going to think I'm just saying that to whatever. I'm being 100% honest here.
You're so full of shit right now.
No, I'm not.
You're so full of shit.
No.
Boy. Okay, well, let's agree to this. Goldberg, while you may not have liked him, Harper, did you enjoy him or did you think it was?
The thing is, he was the only true organic thing that came out of WCW during that time.
Yeah.
Because everyone else, like Hall and Nash, they were ex-WWE guys.
I liked Lenny Lane.
And he was made by them, by WCW.
Right. Which one was called Bagwell?
Yeah.
Disco Inferno. Alex Wright.
American Males. American Males.
Christ.
Johnny B. Bad.
You know, here's my thing. I didn't hate Goldberg. I wasn't a big fan of the whole Goldberg thing, but I will say this. How bad, Doc, did they fuck it up?
God damn, they fucked it up.
When
they gave it away on Monday
when
night?
When they gave Goldberg versus Hogan away on Monday night in front of 40,000 people with a 3-day build. How bad was that?
You heard about that, right?
Now, I'm one of these guys that can't just fuck something up. I got to fuck it all the way up.
Go ahead,
you tell him, buddy.
wait, no, Doc, you were talking over it. Let's get the full effect.
Now, I'm one of these guys that can't just fuck something up. I got to fuck it all the way up.
Okay, go ahead, Doc. My bad.
Well, apparently they had a bunch of people from Turner in town, and they thought, let's take him to the show and wow him.
Fuck.
At the Georgia Dome and the big production and how big we are, and it was some short-sighted shit.
Well, and then you had Eric Bischoff too trying to pop a rating.
Right. Well, and you've heard, here's the thing, at some point along that line, especially in the Monday Night Wars, and Sullivan said it, I'm not booking wrestling, I'm booking a TV show.
Yeah, he did say that. What were you saying, Harper?
Yeah, they fucked him over. I mean, the way he got his first loss.
Well,
they fucked him over.
Yeah, I'm skipping around because I'm going to go back to something else, but you're 100% right. So then not only does he wins the title on what should have been at least a 2-month build to a pay-per-view where you could have.
Yes.
Or at least a month. I mean, 3 fucking days. And Goldberg, if you listen to Goldberg tell a story, he's like, I'm just sitting at home watching Thunder on Thursday night, and I heard your J.J. Dillon say on Monday night, I'm defending, you know, I'm going for the title against Hogan at Monday Night Nitro. He's like, well, literally a three-day build. So that part. And then the sad part is, you know, Nash is the booker at that point. Maybe not right when Hogan lost to him, but Nash and Goldberg worked the match, and Goldberg loses his first match from a jackknife to Nash. And then they follow that up with what we know now as a finger poke of doom bullshit. Mm-hmm. And this is when to me, it's like the wheels are coming off. And even Graham on the documentary says, once Goldberg's jets were cooled, they were dead. That really hurt business.
Yeah.
And I think, and to Harper's point, Harper said it a second ago, Goldberg was the one person that they could look back and go, man, we organically built this guy into the monster he was.
Just because I didn't like him doesn't mean I think that you murder his character on live TV in front of 40,000 people at the Georgia Dome. I mean, once you've committed to it, you've got to see it out.
Yeah, but then he loses to Nash, and then you get the fucking finger poke of death. I don't know what else to say at that point. I mean, we're basically in the fall right now, and it's about the full steam ahead at this point. Any thoughts on that, Harper, the whole Goldberg losing and the steam just going away at that point?
Yeah, that was it, because he was their only real thing that they gave birth to.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
He wasn't the adopted kid. He was that. They gave birth to him, and they shit it all over the thing that they created organically.
Yep. All because I think Nash was booking at that point, just for the record.
Yeah.
I believe that's what was going on then. All right. So, let's see. They talk about celebrities in wrestling, and I got to call some bullshit here for a second. I'm backtracking a little bit on the notes, but they talk about celebrities in wrestling. And JR said WCW wasn't doing anything that WWF hadn't done in their WrestleManias. But then JR said something about WWF not putting celebrities in the ring.
Yeah, fuck that.
That ain't true.
Lawrence Taylor?
Not only Lawrence Taylor.
But he was a real fucking, a badass fucking athlete, though.
Right.
Fucking linebacker.
The person I'm thinking, exactly, Harper, I'm thinking as soon as JR said that, I'm like, did you forget about Mr. T?
Oh, yeah, that's true, huh?
Did we forget about Mr. T? When the worker and the Carney motherfucker that was in the ring with him, Roddy Piper, to his death, to almost to the time he died, was like, I didn't like it. I didn't want him in there with us. This is our business.
And so to that point, my problem with the Malone and Rodman thing is that ultimately that goes back to our theory of whether it's that jackass Machine Gun Kelly that Kevin Owens powerbombed, or it's Kane powerbombing Pete Rose, or whoever it is. They need to get driven through the mat. And what it really highlighted for me is that part of WCW's problem after you kill Goldberg is that Jeff Jarrett and DDP are nice pieces. They are quality wrestlers, but they can't be top guys. And then when Jay Leno gets in the ring, it is you're now on the doorstep of David Arquette.
Yeah.
Jay Leno was a fucking joke.
Yeah, shitting on everything that's ever happened prior.
Yeah. Yes. I can deal with Rodman and Malone. Only because Rodman, first off, they're two huge dudes, but first off, Rodman had a legit kind of crazy aura to him, and Malone did come across as the good guy, and they had like some, you know, real life bad blood, I think, in one of the finals or whatnot around that time. So I could deal with that, but you're right, Doc. Jay Leno, and then
he put Hogan in an arm bar, dude,
and he sold it like it was, you know, fucking Ric Flair doing it, you know?
He sold the fuck out of it. Chris Jericho during the documentary is like, I'm sitting there watching it, and they show Jay Leno in a who's got Hogan in an armbar, and he's got him in this armbar for like a minute, and I'm going, what the hell is he doing?
And so let me ask you this.
Hold on. And Jericho says, I know what they're doing. On the front page of the New York Times, I can't remember if it was the New York Times or what, there's a picture. They were trying to get the money shot. They were trying to get a good photo of Jay Leno having Hogan in an armbar. What the fuck?
So do you think, Mike, that I am a more athletically fit and capable person than Jay Leno?
Oh, yes, 100%.
Okay. So here's – and I'm not – you know, I do look like White Lashley, but that's okay.
No, he doesn't.
But I am a fairly fit, average 43-year-old guy that can – that was a – you know, I played some sports. So what would happen, you two guys, if I just decided to drive down to New Orleans next Wildcat show and decide I'm going to put Luke Hawks in an arm bar in front of 1,000 people at Meisler Middle School?
They would call laughing.
And so the point is,
Luke would be like, Mike, what the fuck? Who's this fucking idiot?
And
this
so,
fucking idiot
and
out of here.
And then I'd have to like pull up my sleeve and show him that my arm's just a little bit bigger than his.
Yeah, okay.
But what I'm saying is that a real wrestler ain't selling that shit.
Nope.
Because I'm not another wrestler.
And Jay Leno looks like such a goddamn.
He looks like the human version of the Stay Puft Marshmallow from Ghostbusters with that big puffy head chin thing.
Looks stupid in there. Just utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
At least Rodman and especially like Karl Malone was cut for, I mean, Malone was a chiseled dude as a basketball player. So, I mean, they're awkward and all that. But at least they can stand there eye to eye with the people and be somewhat.
They're athletes.
Right.
I mean, they're athletes. So, yeah.
Kevin Green.
I mean, yeah.
Mongo. It's not my cup of tea, but at least it's not just discrediting and just taking a big, hairy, meaty brainstem in there somewhere shit on it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So that it starts just tail spinning. And then, so any other thoughts, Harper, before I keep going?
No.
So then we get Halloween Havoc 98. It goes off air because they ran too long and they had to reimburse thousands of pay-per-view customers. you know,
when it rains, it pours.
Right. So then that happens and you got just, it's a shit show. And then I really liked what they, you know, Jericho, Big Show, and Malenko during this documentary. They were really critical of Hogan and Nash, especially Big Show. You know, much respect to Jericho and Big Show because they're right, but every time they made mention of how every time you started getting over, guys like Nash would put the brakes on it because, you know, his spot is now being fucking, you know, tested. Now,
right. Yeah,
this guy gets over. Now, now what's going to happen with me? So I thought that was fair critique from them. And then the other part is Hall and Nash had contracts where every time you brought somebody in, they had like an escalator clause or something in their contract where they got bumped up too.
That's fucking crazy, huh?
Yes.
Dude, what kind of corporation is that? That's the kind of clause I need down where we work. Anytime they bring these mid-card jobbers in, I get another kicker on that.
Right.
Because I'm going to have to clean up their work and make them look good at some point. I'm going to need an extra little bit of money to do that.
And you know what's funny? He ain't lying. He's actually had to do that at work.
Right.
This fucking mid-carder that I venture to say makes around the same as Doc comes in. He pulls one of these numbers right here.
Now, I'm one of these guys that can't just fuck something up. I got to fuck it all the way up.
Okay. And Doc had to clean up his mess for a week. Oh, yeah. Well, you need one of those escalator contracts, Doc. All right. So all that goes down, and we're getting to the end here, so we're about to wrap things up in the next few minutes. Vince Russo comes in, and in fairness, they were already going downhill before Russo comes in.
Yes.
Can we at least agree to that?
Absolutely.
It was already dying.
He just made it real shameful on the way out.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they don't. I mean, I don't know if Vince was the one that, you know, came up with the whole Kiss Demon bullshit, and for fuck's sake, David Arquette title. Harper, you got any thoughts on David Arquette before we move past that one?
It was fucking dog shit.
It was.
I mean, what else is there to say? It's like, how in the fuck you... It's like, I don't have the right to wear a New Orleans Saints Super Bowl ring because I wasn't there in 2009.
Right.
I've never played football. I would never... I have no right to wear that fucking ring. Why is he wearing that fucking belt?
Well, and I think JR says something to the effect of, come on, man. All the people that held that belt, and you're going to put that belt on that guy? I have a soundbite of just the whole Russo and that whole Bash at the Beach where Jeff Jarrett took a dive and Russo goes.
Oh, my God. That's when I said, fuck this shit.
Yeah, me too.
I said, fuck this. And I remember a friend of mine, Randy, had the box that had the fucking chip in it.
Yeah.
So we didn't pay for none of this shit. And I remember thinking, wouldn't that suck if we actually paid for this fucking shit?
Can you imagine if you paid $40 for that shit that day?
We got exactly what in the fuck we paid for.
Right, which was free. let me cue it. I got two more sound clips after this one, and they're not really long. And one of them is the bullshit meter from Vince and JR at the end. But I think this is that one you're talking about right here where this happens.
As if mutiny was about to happen.
As much as you won't admit, Madden, you knew that Hogan would make it back here to Bash of the Beach.
No, I knew he'd never, ever miss a big pay-per-view payday. What's Jeff doing?
Wait a minute.
What's Jeff doing?
Is it Halloween Havoc all over again?
Russo's coming.
Russo.
What's he saying?
Russo, I think, told Jarrett to lie down. What's going on?
Look at what is going on.
They just threw the world title into Hogan.
That's why this company's in the damn shape it's in, because of bullshit like this.
And I promise everybody, or else I'll go in the damn grave, you will never see that piece of shit again.
It wasn't in respect for the business. It was my playpen, and you're going to play my way. If you're not playing my way, then I'm going to show you. And this was the attitude of so many people. And it was wrong.
It's not just the salaries they were getting. It's the lack of effort they were getting, because everybody was me, 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 and there was no we, we, we. And there is no way that you cannot be unified, striving to achieve the same goal, and expect to be successful. There's no way.
I am the chosen one.
He broke 6,000 guitars, never drew a dime that he thought he was. And he really thought in his little Tennessee brain that he was bigger and better and would draw more money than Hulk Hogan.
The fans suffered.
I had to play that because Graham saying that about Jeff Jarrett, I was like, whoa, I don't remember that. But
well,
shit.
Here's the thing. At least Jeff Jarrett didn't suck on the end of a gun and kill himself like Mike Graham did. Like his daddy did, too.
Oh, come on, Doc.
Wow.
I just feel the need to defend Jeff Jarrett. I don't know why.
Oh, Jesus.
Suicide runs in their family. You know, when you make Hogan a sympathetic figure, you're really scraping the bottom there. Also, though, Hogan pulling politics and bullshit for years and years and years and then cries when it goes against him is just like Vince screwing everybody over, and it's smart when I do it, and when somebody else does it, that's no fair.
You do have a point there. That is true. That goes back to that old when one rich guy does it to another. He finds a way to justify it, but when it happens to you, I can't justify.
How many times did Hogan squash good business by saying that doesn't work for me, brother?
Yeah. But I got to go back to what Harper said. It was that moment that I was like, man, fuck this shit.
I don't know, though. Jeff Jarrett did do one good thing. He introduced us to one of the great cut down lines of all time when he called people slap nuts.
That's good. That is good. But I mean, I'm with Harper. I watched that on a free cable box, and I was Harper. I said the same thing you said. I was like,
YouTube,
I'm glad I didn't pay for this shit.
You two better hope the statute of limitations on your thievery is run out.
Well, it wasn't my cable box.
Yeah.
Right. Allegedly.
A friend of mine, Randy, and he eventually, it was his box, and he eventually went to UL Monroe, and so I had to buy my own goddamn bootleg box. I was like, you fucking asshole, you fucked me over. Well, I used to come home and watch the fucking Spice Channel. God damn, that shit was like Disney World. Ugh.
Saying you
jerking off like crazy. Bam.
Did you wipe the box down after?
He said, bam. I was thinking DDP, self high five.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, boy, that's real classy of you, Harper.
Jesus.
Will you stop?
Oh, Jesus. I mean, can we have more of an attitude like this?
Be blessed and be a blessing.
There was nobody being a blessing from in the last 2 years to that company.
Hell
yeah,
no.
It was horrible.
Ugh. So then this happens.
Like a business.
It says AOL Time Warner merges.
The overall demise of WCW was a result of several factors. Ted's role changed very dramatically in the acquisition by Time Warner. He didn't have direct control over lots of the elements anymore. And eventually when it went to AOL, he was out of the picture completely.
AOL, they made it clear that they didn't want to have anything to do with wrestling.
It was just a lack of direction, you know, of what we do. A lot of people in positions of power that didn't understand the wrestling business, making decisions for wrestlers about wrestling, about a business that they knew nothing about.
I think that wrestling was viewed in general as a one-off in the organization. That people were just not comfortable with it from their background.
They didn't think that wrestling fit into their portfolio. It was beneath them to be part of the wrestling clique.
Now, I will stop it right there, Doc, because I know you don't like Hogan, but he actually spoke the truth right there. It didn't fit into their portfolio.
Sure.
You know how rich folks are.
The corporation, if wrestling would have made the shareholders rich, they'd still be doing wrestling over there today. They didn't think it made the shareholders rich. I mean, corporation will make shit sculptures. If it sells and makes money.
Yeah.
That's true. So any thoughts on Hogan's part there? I mean, not Hogan's part, but just in general, the merger. Because, you know, we all know it's history now. But back then it was, look, man, this shit happened. And I'm sorry, but WCW was going downhill and we had tuned out. But at that point, it's over. I mean.
I hadn't tuned out. I watched it to the end, dude.
Fuck, I watched that.
Last Nitro. I stayed with it the whole way.
I watched the last Nitro too, but
I watched the next to last Nitro. How about that?
No. What I was about to say was I watched the last Nitro too, but Harper, you said it a second ago. When that bash at the beach happened with Hogan and Bischoff and that whole scenario, I tuned out just like you did.
Yeah, that was when my commitment to it just it was like, yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
I'm not paying attention to what you're doing anymore.
Right, you didn't fuck this shit up enough. I mean, you didn't went.
Now I'm one of these guys that can't just fuck something up. I gotta fuck it all the way up.
Yeah, they fucked it all the way up for me.
Because you never saw that ever prior to where a guy just fucking lay down.
Well,
no one has ever done that.
You saw the politics and the bullshit of backstage just play out on live on a pay-per-view.
It was like if you got a fucking ant pile, you just see a fucking pile of dirt, but they kicked it open, and you saw the fucking tunnels, you saw all the ants running around.
and
that's what the fuck they did.
And then they whipped out their Johnson and Pete in it.
Yeah.
They sure
they
did.
Set that shit on fire.
Yeah, they aired out their dirty laundry is what they did there. All right, so let's wrap this puppy up. We got one more thing to say. This is bullshit meter alert. Vince and JR here, and others, I think. I can't remember. It's been a while since I wrote this down. But talking about once they purchased WCW and the war was now, quote-unquote, over, here it is.
We had no parade. We had no celebration because they went out. It was another day.
I didn't feel any, you know, ego boost of way to go, Vince. You know, you crushed them, and now you own them and all that.
Oh,
I look at it as business as usual. You know, this asset was available. We got what I thought was to be a great deal.
When I heard what he bought it for, I said, I wish I would have known because I would have tried to buy it. For the money that he bought it for, I could have afforded it. But yeah, when Vince bought WCW, that was the end of an era.
I was, you know, elated the day they sold. But do I think the business would be better if we had two companies? It'd be great.
I thought it was horrible for the business. You kill your competition? What's it do to the marketplace?
Not the best time for a performer in this business, because you could always go somewhere else. If you didn't like WCW, you could go to WWE. If you didn't like WWE, go to WCW. You know you'd get treated fairly financially, if nothing else.
A lot of guys that have the ability to be working right now, and there's just not any place to go, you know, which is sad because it's a phenomenal way to make a living.
The business was prospering much more so when WCW was going head-to-head with WWE.
All right, I stopped there because Goldberg hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, but you know what? It was prospering a lot more than that when you had 30 places to go.
Well, yeah, well, we can thank Vince for shutting all that shit down. But let's go back to the point of this whole thing here. JR said we didn't have no parade. Okay, that's a figure of speech. Of course, we know you didn't have a parade. Vince said he didn't celebrate. What's that bullshit meter alert on, Doc?
Yeah, fuck.
You know good and well they were in there whacking each other off.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrating. I ain't trying to say they were fucking, you know, having an orgy in the office, but they were celebrating. Come on. Do you believe that, Doc? They didn't celebrate?
No, here's the thing. In some weird way, I could see a scenario where he's right. Bischoff is a wannabe Vince. Vince is the real deal. Whether you like him or not, Vince is the real deal. And for a guy like Vince, sometimes I do believe that the chase is better than the catch. I think, you know, he didn't like, he thought he was going out of business, but once he got his feet under him and Stone Cold were going, I think it was the chase that drove him, and you see that after he bought him. Bischoff is one of those guys who's a wannabe. Bischoff would be a great guy, be a corporate executive. He'd be great, successful, but never lead anybody to really do anything. Vince leads those guys to do stuff. You're trying to impress the big man down at WWE. I get the sense that maybe Vince, it was more like, because I don't think Vince thinks of, I mean, they didn't get on Vince's radar until they were going to put him out of business. Vince wants to do his thing. So I don't know. I kind of believe him. I like Vince. He's a good guy.
Now you're playing. Now you're playing. Okay. All right. Harper, any final thoughts after hearing that? And first off, was he lying? Are they lying? Did they celebrate?
Fuck yeah, they celebrated. They're doing backflips.
Couple eight balls, maybe some
smoke up, Johnny. Yeah.
There you go. Yahtzee. Yeah.
Baby's got a pot roast on.
Yeah, you damn right about that. Yeah.
Yahtzee.
Yeah.
Yahtzee. Baby's got a pot roast on.
That's right. God damn it. She's got a pot roast on. All right, Doc, final thoughts, man. We're wrapping up now. Anything from the rise and fall and now what we're left with? Because that's the sad reality of this. We don't have a viable competition anymore. ROH and TNA are not viable competition at this point.
It's the logical ending of big business. And whether it is wrestling or your cable company or your cell phone or whatever, a monopoly rarely works out good for the little guy, the consumer, or anything else, or the workers. So, in all ways, this is the shitty ending to a shitty story. And I wonder, going all the way back to when we started a while back with what Rick said, because, you know, noted businessman Ric Flair, if they'd have stayed in their backyard, could they have kept it going?
Well, a whole bunch of stuff has to happens in too, because what happens if they do stay in their backyard, that means that it stays in possession of the Crockett family.
That's right.
And never goes to Turner. I mean, they would stay on Turner's network, but the funding, they never have the money troubles that they end up having.
Right.
Like once they get into later. Yeah, yeah. Which in turn, they are kind of then still kind of like Vince at that point, but even then they're still going to grow probably because, WWF is a family business. So WCW still would have been a family business. It just would have been owned by Crockett, you know, versus the WWF or WWE, which is owned by the McMahon. So yeah, maybe so. I don't know, but it sucks, man. Cause you don't have two big companies anymore.
Let's quit watching wrestling.
Well, we have, we only watched the whole shit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean everything, though. This is the last show.
Okay. All right. So that's Doc's final thoughts. Any thoughts from you, Hopper, or that's it? You're done.
I mean, they killed off Pepsi. Coca-Cola killed off Pepsi, and now the only other option besides that is fucking Royal Crown and fucking Big Shot. Mm. That's it. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We know Big Shot. Root beer might be good, but the rest of it's kind of like,
What happened.
And we're left with nothing. So that's it. We're out. This was the bonus show. Thank you for the 105 five-star reviews. We appreciate it. We will do another one once we get to 210. That'll be a little while. So rank us if you're out there listening to us for the first time.
We're going to do one. The rise and fall of Mike Mills' hairline. How about that?
Yeah, I'd say. You know what? I just got to play this soundbite for something because WWE makes me mad these days. But just one thing I want to tell WWE.
It ain't that fucking hard, guys. We ain't building a rocket. We're getting guys over in a fake fucking business.
So stop.
Now, I'm one of these guys that can't just fuck something up. I got to fuck it all the way up.
Okay. Please stop fucking it up. And please do this for us.
Be blessed and be a blessing.
All right, everybody. Hopper, this is going to air. I mean, I'm going to put this up this week. I mean, I may do it tonight if I have time. So plug Wildcat. What's September what coming up?
September 2nd.
September 2nd, 2017.
Grace King High School.
Wait, where at?
Grace King High School in
Grace
Mattery.
Grace King. Okay. I wasn't sure. I get confused, man, between Grace King and Meisler. So Grace King, September 7th, Wildcat Sports. Be there. It's that simple.
Be there or be a dork.
And,
be there.
And if you're listening to this, consider becoming a patron. tinyurl.com/BTCpatron. It's a great way to support the show. If you want more content, go there and become a patron. Follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. Hardbody Harper's @CJHHudat. I'm @Mike504Saints. Facebook, it's facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the shop now button. Go buy some t-shirts from our Pro Wrestling Tee store. And then lastly, if you missed any of the links that I mentioned in this show, check the show notes. They're all there. There is even a way to donate to us if you don't want to do the monthly recurring patron episodes or for the patron episodes via our patron link. You can donate one time if you'd like. But other than that, I don't have anything else. I'm tired. I'm tuckered out. Harper, hit the tagline to get us out of here.
Book it, bitch.